Support for this podcast and the following message comes from Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to rethink transportation. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
When overreactions lead to underperformance.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Investors love to ride a market rally, obviously, since it's great for their portfolios. But history tells us that at the first sign of volatility, investors usually cut and run. As a result, investors often underperform the market. Joining us is Wall Street Journal Ahead of the Tape columnist Steve Russolillo. So, Steve, we were in sort of a Trump slump. Stocks were rallying Tuesday. But I guess you're saying I shouldn't have emptied my accounts after last Tuesday's sell-off, which followed an amazing Trump-inspired rally.
Yeah, probably not. You know, it's funny when looking at the markets now, the Dow just went through an eight-day losing streak, its longest since 2011. But that's a little bit misleading because the Dow was actually only down 2% during that drop. So really a very small decline. And on Tuesday, as you mentioned, we had a nice little rally here. So, gained a substantial chunk of that back in one day. So, and that's the point of this piece right here, is that a lot of times when you see the first sign of trouble, and it could be on a small scale like this, when we had a day where the market went down 1% last week, or it could be on a larger scale when you get Brexit, when the market just kind of goes haywire for a short amount of time, you see people make irrational decisions, and those irrational decisions can have longer-term ramifications.
I guess investors were also upset because maybe they started to realize or started to fear that in Washington, legislation was not going to get passed the way they thought it would, and so there may have been a temptation to just dump.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. And you know, what's really fascinating is that there's this financial research firm called Dalbar, and they're based up in Boston, and they've been doing this study for a little bit more than 20 years, and they basically compare what individual investors, their actual performance compared to what the market actually does. And what their annual study has shown year in and year out is that investors almost always underperform what the market does.
Amazing. Give us some examples of how investors have sort of bailed at the first sign of trouble.
Yeah. So, and the reason why this happens is because you see there's a temptation, as you mentioned, Charlie, for investors to sort of dump or to pull back or to get scared and get spooked and pull back at times maybe when that's not the proper time to do that. So if you just look at like a year like 2015, when the market was up and down a little bit throughout most of the year, finally the market finished slightly higher. But you know, let's call it a flat year. Investors, on average, finished that year, their actual returns were down 2.3%. So they missed out on what was a small gain for the market. And the reason why is that if you're trying to time the market, if you're saying, okay, I'm going to buy here because this is a great buying opportunity, and then I'm going to sell because, oh, I know things are getting bad right now. Typically, investor behavior does not – people are just bad market timers. That's like one of the oldest cliches in the market right here, is that, you know, trying to time the market is one of the worst things you could ever do. And, you know, the folks at Dalbar, they'll say that, you know, buy and hold is really the best strategy. It's something that Warren Buffett has preached forever. It's something that Jack Bogle at Vanguard has preached forever. Yeah. And so it just goes to show that trying to time the market is really not the best way to go about things.
And didn't Dalbar find that this was even more true over a longer time horizon?
Yeah. So if you go out the past 30 years, the S&P 500 has risen about 10% a year for 30 years now. But investors have earned just 3.7% annually over those past 30 years. So that difference there, that spread, that it's almost 7 percentage points. That is humongous. If you think about compounded annual returns and you think about, you know, reinvesting your dividends and all this and how much that 7 percentage points, it is a huge, huge material difference. I mean, I can't stress that enough. It's just really fascinating to look at this. Now, there are some critics out there that say that Dalbar's study kind of magnifies these numbers aren't completely accurate. There are some metrics that they use that sometimes people criticize Dalbar for. But even with that said, even if you believe that their numbers are enhanced and directionally, this still tells the same story in the sense that individual investors almost always underperform what the market actually does.
I'm speaking with Steve Russolillo. He is the head of the tape columnist for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street, and you're listening to Your Money Matters.
We'd like to say a quick thank you and share a message from one of our sponsors, Morgan Stanley, who helped Uber raise capital to launch innovative transportation solutions, including its carpooling option, Uber Pool, and enable a world on the move. Capital creates more mobility. More at morganstanley.com/Uber. Morgan Stanley & Co., LLC, member SIPC.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Steve, isn't this just human nature? I mean, we were in a great bull market, and we were due for either a pause or a correction. And this ties in with investors, as you say, trying to time the market, and they end up buying high and selling low. But in a situation such as what we were in, with a correction basically due, that's just human nature, and it's tough to fight.
I totally agree with that. And, you know, we are in the ninth year of a bull market. This has been a huge, huge, magnificent rally since the financial crisis. And so I can totally understand the inclination to think that at the first sign of trouble that, yes, a pullback is coming. It's interesting. Another research firm, Strategis Research Partners, put out a note last week looking at just, you know, what a correction would mean right now for investors. And so they looked at data since 1987, so over the past 30 years, call it. And they found that about half of the corrections that we've seen in the market over that time frame have actually been really great buying opportunities for investors. Yeah. That within 3 months after the correction had ended, the S&P averaged about a 14% rally right off the bat, right after that. So again, if you time it absolutely perfectly and you say, okay, the 10% correction is going to begin right now, and you get out, and then right at the bottom of that correction, you get back in, then you're a genius. Then
It's a
perfect scenario. But the likelihood that you will time that absolutely perfectly is so small. And what's a much greater chance is that you will probably, if you get out early enough, which is a good thing, you will probably miss the ensuing rebound, which tends to happen very, very quickly.
So overreaction leads to underperformance.
Exactly.
Steve Russolillo of The Wall Street Journal, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
And that's this edition of Your Money Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm Charlie Turner at the news desk in New York.
Make us part of your daily commute. WSJ Podcasts. Listen ambitiously.